Plus 49.
Bienvenidos to another episode of Plus 49. My name is Iride Arteaga and I will be your host today. Spring has officially arrived in the capital, and with the sunshine comes a fresh dose of music, culture, and city stories to dive into. So whether you're tuning in from your kitchen table, cruising through Tiergarten with your dog, or enjoying a flat white in a sunny Prenzlauer Berg cafe, we've got a beautiful hour lineup just for you. Today, we're talking single life in Germany. Considering, you know, the Frühlingsgefühle or spring feelings we probably have, we want to talk about the perks, the price tag, and why Berlin might just be the ultimate solo city. We'll be joined by matchmaker Alicia from Alto to share some insights on modern dating and connection. Plus, we'll catch up on some of the week's top news stories and spotlight the best events happening around Berlin and beyond. So grab your coffee or the drink of your choice, get comfy, and let's get into it. Let's start into this week's top stories, where politics, culture, and health all collide. We start in Berlin, where some of the city's most iconic theaters may soon undergo a major transformation. According to RBB, institutions like the Volksbühne, Deutsches Theater, Maxim Gorki, and other could be restructured or even partially privatized. The Senate is reportedly considering a shift to non-profit GmbHs or foundations, similar to the model used for Berlin's opera houses. While the city emphasizes these talks are part of an ongoing cultural dialogue, the Verdi Union warns of potential job losses and worsening conditions for roughly around 1,100 employees. With public budgets tightening, Berlin's theater world faces uncertain days ahead. In economic news, US President Trump's proposed tariffs could cost Germany up to 200 billion euros over the next 4 years. This, according to the new research by the Cologne-based IW Institute. Industries like automotive, chemicals, and pharmaceuticals are bracing for impact, and Germany business leaders are urging the EU to stay unified but firm. A response from Brussels is expected next week. And finally, a heated debate is unfolding in Germany's healthcare system. Pediatrician Jakob Maske is calling for a no-show patients to be fined up to 100 euros, arguing that missed appointments clog the system. The National Doctors' Association suggests a lower penalty, but charge to health insurance instead. With up to 20% of appointments going unattended and wait times on the rise, coalition negotiators are also floating a new rule. Patients would need referrals from their GP before seeing a specialist, aiming to make care more efficient. With the temperatures rising and Berlin's first Eis am Stiel sightings confirmed, spring is officially here, and along with blooming trees and park picnics comes those infamous Frühlingsgefühle. Love is in the air, or at least on people's mind. But as it turns out, being single in Germany can really hit you right in the wallet. According to a report by Raisin Bank, living alone in Germany can cost around 1,000 euros more per month than living apart as a couple. From rent to heating to the occasional spontaneous concert ticket, solo living isn't just a lifestyle, and at this point it's a financial commitment. One in five singles admitted that they have stayed in a relationship longer than they wanted to, just to avoid the financial fallout of breaking up. Others have delayed moving out of their parents' home or put off buying a place altogether. In fact, about a third of singles said that being solo has significantly postponed their chances of getting on the proprietary ladder. And many believe the government should step in. especially for first-time buyers who don't happen to work in big tech. Critics roll their eyes at the idea of single-tone subsidies, but with rising living costs, some kind of support might be not so far-fetched. Now, if there's a place to study the single life, it is Berlin. As of the end of 2022, over 52% of Berliners were officially single. That's more than 2 million people. Pankow has the highest number of unmarried residents, followed by Mitte. And Friedrichshain-Kreuzberg has the lowest marriage rate in the city. In contrast, only about 33% of residents were listed as married, while a teeny tiny 0.3% were registered partnerships. I don't know if this is a sign of modern love, commitment issues, or simply the housing market scaring everyone off, but one thing is clear. Berlin is still the undisputed single capital of Germany. And while statistics can't tell us how many of those singles are catching springtime crushes in Volkspark, one thing is clear. Frühlingsgefühle may be free, but living alone definitely isn't. We have today one guest that was already with us in the special for Women's Day, but also today she is going to let us know what life in Germany, and specifically in Berlin, is like for singles, because her own project, it's called Alto. And I will just present right now Alisa in order for her to let us know a little bit more about Alto. Alisa, thank you so much for being today with us.
Thank you for having me back. It was such a great fun last time to be here. I'm excited to talk about myself today and to have an interesting conversation with you about, yeah, many people's favorite or least favorite topic, dating in Berlin. So my name's Alicia. I'm originally from Canada. I've been living in Berlin almost 20 years now. And most recently, I have founded Alto Matchmaking, which is a boutique, old-fashioned matchmaking service for people who kind of have an international mindset. So that could be expats or, you know, people who are just interested in culture and life abroad.
Before we started recording, you said that you've been in Germany for so long that you believe you're already a German. So what are your favorite German aspects?
So I love following rules now. I really appreciate the structure here. Of course, there's some very frustrating aspects of it as well. If you get one thing wrong on a piece of paper, you have to start again. But in general, I find it very satisfying to be able to rely on the structure here in Germany. Yeah.
Did that help you once you wanted to start your own business?
So yeah, I mean, I already have led a business in Germany. I was leading a nonprofit for about 6 years before that. So I learned a lot that helped me found my own business. There were still things that I learned. For example, matchmaking is an industry that is subject to additional oversight by the German government. So I had to provide a lot of extra certificate of conduct and things like that, which is great because you don't want to be doing anything criminal. But yeah, I just feel there's always something you can learn from the Finanzamt or the Ordnungsamt or all of the Ämter in Berlin and Germany. But yeah, so far, so good. I'll say that very quietly, knock wood.
So before we go really deep diving into matchmaking, tell us a little bit about Alto.
Yeah, so I came from nonprofit leadership. Before that, I was actually working as a lobbyist, believe it or not, in Brussels. And I've had a myriad of different experiences throughout my life, my professional life as well. And one thing that I've always noticed I love to do is just to connect people and find partnerships that make sense on both sides. So last year, I took some time off for personal reasons, and it started to become really clear to me that that's what I love to do. And so this idea of matchmaking just came to me. And then when I did some more market research, I found that like some things in Germany could use some modernization in this industry. So I decided to start my own company in a way that really resonates with me. So just on a very personal level, being empathetic, understanding values, and trying to bridge cultures, most importantly.
We're back with Alicia. She is from Canada. She has been living 20 years in Germany, and she's the answer to our prayers for everyone outside who is single, ready to mingle, and is just tired of swiping. Alicia has something for us, which is Alto. So tell us, what is Alto? And we already know a little bit how you started it, but if I register, what should I expect from it?
Yeah, so I'm not sure. Maybe some of the listeners have seen Jewish Matchmaker or Millionaire Matchmaker, this sort of really dramatic reality TV, but I can assure you it's not like that with me. I will never force you to do anything. But basically, the services that I offer are for people who are either burnt out from swiping, because I think we all know how fatiguing that can be, and how it often is very much time intensive for not a lot of outcome. Or maybe it's people who just don't have time because they are caregiving, or they have hobbies or work, and they just don't want to spend time with the modern dating scene. Or for people who are recently divorced or have lost a spouse and are a little bit overwhelmed by getting back into the dating scene. So those are kind of the people that I can help. I offer two ways to kind of get involved. One of them is by joining my database of singles, which is actually free. And I encourage everyone to do it who is interested in potentially being matched with one of my clients.
Okay, so how do I register there? Because I'm doing it right now.
So you can go to the website. It's altomatchmaking.com. And there's right in the header a button saying join the database. Happy to have anyone interested join that. And then basically you get a private profile that's only visible to me and potentially some of the recruiters I work with, where we can really thoughtfully look at your values and your characteristics and match them personally.
One part is me registering for free in your platform. And then you also said you have another way.
That's right. I also offer a one-on-one client relationship. So that's for somebody who's really invested and committed to taking the leap into hiring a matchmaker and who knows that they want to outsource that part of their dating life. So by hiring me, you're basically saying, okay, I'm done with the dating apps. I want someone to take over for me. This is what I'm looking for. These are my values and what's important to me. And then the matchmaker will go out and find potential matches and take care of everything, the introduction, setting up the date, and what's most interesting to me, providing feedback after that date. So I know we've all been on dates where we say, I really wish he or she had done this or that. And so as a matchmaker, it's my job to constructively or diplomatically pass on that feedback to the date to try and make things better for next time.
I'm laughing because I do think that I've been in those situations. And I love the term that you said, burnout from swiping or dating apps. And I think comes a point where you just say like, I'm okay. Like I don't need to go into another app and to get another set of weird people or just having weird conversations. So this is definitely a great alternative. Being single, I guess, and in the way that you put it, is kind of going into various different interviews, and especially after an age where you're more clear about who you are, what you want. And I'm going to be very personal and just going to say that, for instance, my biggest problem is that I'm too German for Mexico and I'm too Mexican from Germany.
Yeah, I get that.
And that is a complicated part, isn't it?
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
We're migrating. We are being more international. And yet, on the other side, for women, at least, that have this both cultures, somehow, why? What can I do? Let's word it that way. But I guess that is Alto matchmaking.
Yeah, and I think that's something that you share with thousands of other people who have come here from a different culture. And, you know, the longer you live in another place, the more that culture will affect you as well. And if you have children, that's another level on top of that. So for me, I think it's important for everyone to sit down and really kind of be introspective about what exactly they are looking for. It doesn't have to be very complicated. I think you can boil it down to try to write down your 3 to 5 top values and just reflect around what kind of person you want to be with. Do they have to align with those values? Is there something that you would be flexible with? And try to frame your search from that perspective rather than thinking about, oh, you know, are they going to get along with my Mexican family for the first date? That might come in later, but... When really, you know, human connection is about that kind of compatibility, no matter where you're from.
It's kind of complicated after also a certain age to just go outside and be vulnerable. I cannot even say that word. But, you know, just expose yourself because you already have so much going on and you have absolutely no idea how to open or how to start a conversation. I mean, you were a lobbyist, so probably you're the best person to go to start a conversation. But... is there anything that you would also say, like, oh, if you're nervous about going on a date, you don't know how to start a conversation, what can be outside of how the weather it is and how cold or warm or complain about the U-Bahn or S-Bahn, how it's typical here? Is there any other like love topics that we can start using?
Yeah, so my favorite question I always advise people to use on the first date is, what is the most exciting thing you're working on right now? And that question engages the other person, gets them talking about themselves, and it also immediately gives you a glimpse into what they're passionate about, which can be a springboard for conversations into many different directions. And then for you to share yours as well.
That sounds lovely. And I think you definitely have an amazing gift, because matchmaking, it's not very easy. You have to know how to read people.
Yes. I always thought that being empathetic was kind of a downside, but I think that was just because I was working in the wrong job. Now I really love to put that skill into use in my new company.
And Alto is relative new.
Yes, we are going on about 6 weeks now. But so far, I'm so excited about the positive response that I've had.
Let's do at some point some matchmaking, speed dating or something together. Let's invite everybody and let's try to see where we can go from there.
Yes, love it.
Alicia, thank you once again. And of course, everyone outside, we're inviting you. If you're looking for someone, there's still hope. There's still love out there. There's still people getting at least together. We're not even talking about marriage, but people are still falling.
No, this is Berlin.
Exactly. This is Berlin. But open yourself to the possibility of falling in love. Sometimes we close very soon after a couple of failed trials.
Absolutely.
This is our last segment with Alicia, but if you want to keep having this conversation, we encourage you to take a look at their webpage, altomatchmaking.com, and register, because at the end of the day, we believe that there are a couple of singles out there in Berlin. We were saying about 50% of the households in Germany, more or less, are singles.
Yeah, even more.
And they say actually that Berlin is kind of one of the loneliest cities in the world. Yet, here we are. How do you find love in Berlin?
So I target working with expats, as I say. And on top of Berlin being a notoriously difficult city to find love in, you have a different layer of challenge when you're an expat, because oftentimes you're facing culture shock, language barriers. As we're saying, you know, maybe you don't appreciate the German structure as much as I do. And so one of the services that I offer is to try and help translate that in the love life context. So I can give you an example. An American woman coming over and going on a date with a German person, she might be surprised to know that he just wants to grab a coffee and go for a walk instead of paying for dinner. And this can already be a huge issue when it comes to the first date. So trying to kind of set those expectations and explain the cultural differences is something that's really necessary and something that I try to specialize in. I could also mention, you know, apart from hiring a matchmaker, there are many other options for dating in Berlin. There's a huge trend towards offline dating events, which I completely support. You can check out some of those just by going to meetup.com or searching on Instagram. And I would highly encourage just getting out of your bubble and trying to do something new and join one of those events.
With Latin American women, I keep hearing the same situation, which is why on the first date we have to split the bill.
Yeah. And you know what? I mean, I'm North American and I agree with you on a personal level. But it's not the culture here. And I think you just have to have a really open mind about that. And if it is something that you decide is important for you, communicate that up front and make sure that your needs are out there. And that will very much avoid potential problems down the road.
I think for people that come outside of Europe, and especially I'm talking as a Latina, that it is kind of weird that we always have to say yes to everything. So we feel like it is rude if someone tells us their opinion or their needs. And one of the things that we learn in Germany is that we have to be upfront in what we need. And that can be great and amazing. And we just need to encourage ourselves to say, like, I want to have flowers at least one time every 6 months. I want you to open the door for me, or something that for you, it might do the difference. And that comes a little bit complicated as a woman, or even maybe as a man. Maybe a man needs certain specific things and we don't know how to express them because we're not brought up in this country. Is there anything that you would suggest, like in a general topic, on a first meeting, that you would say, like, okay, so go on with an open mind, and if you want to pay half and half, or just for him to pay, say it forward, or is there any other recommendation?
Yeah, so two things. I would say, first of all, completely understand what you're saying in terms of not wanting to be rude and that different cultural background being, you know, playing into that. One thing I do for all of my clients, and you can hire me separately for this, is a dating strategy. So it's just an hour session where we can talk about things like that and then come up with strategies that are specifically meant for whatever, you know, hesitations you might have, and to prepare yourself. So practice saying those things, practice different situations, kind of like a dating coach, but more specific to, yeah, going on dates, first dates. With the other thing, what I just wanted to say, when you're actually out on a first date, I think it's fine, as I said, to communicate your needs. You can also do it in a more soft way. You can say, look, you know, I really had a fun time. I'm looking forward to seeing you again. And, you know, maybe we can go out for dinner and split the check, and then kind of just leave it at that. And if it's the type of person you want to be with on the second date, then he'll pick up on the little hints.
Alicia, thank you so much for being today with us. It was so fun to have you. And we hope to hear from you very soon and let us know everything that is happening in Alto and, of course, in the matchmaking world.
Thank you so much for having me.
Plus 49. Ask a German.
So when I first moved here, I had a few people over to my house and my phone was out on the table and a friend of mine accidentally spilled his glass of water on my phone. And I was like, oh, okay, well, I guess you owe me a new phone. But then he pulled out his Haftpflichtversicherung, his insurance, which completely covered it. And ever since then, I have been absolutely fascinated. Why are Germans so passionate about insuring their entire lives?
Ah, yes, Germany. The land where we have an insurance for literally everything. Your phone got water damaged? No worries. Just pull out your private liability insurance card like it's a magic trick. We Germans take our precaution very seriously. Like almost everything. It's practically a national hobby. You name it, we insure it. Homes, pets, bikes, body parts. Yes, even fingers and eyes, and of course, each other's property. It's not so much paranoia as it is peace of mind with paperwork. The one your friend used is called Haftpflichtversicherung, or liability insurance. It's basically our holy grail. Almost every German has it, and honestly, it's kind of genius. It covers you when you accidentally break something that isn't yours. Spill red wine on a white couch at a dinner party? You're covered. Break a priceless family heirloom while dog-sitting? Still covered. And knock over someone's TV during an overly enthusiastic game of charades? You guessed it, covered. Then there's also the Hausratsversicherung or household insurance. That protects everything inside your home, like your furniture, electronics, or that overpriced espresso machine you only use on weekends. And we can't forget Unfallversicherung, which means accident insurance. Especially handy if you're the sporty type or simply clumsy. It covers injuries from all those things you do when you're not at work. Hiking, skiing, biking, or slipping on ice. And yes, that's still possible, even in April, because as we all know, the weather here doesn't really believe in rules. And don't get us started on Rechtsschutzversicherung, legal insurance. In Germany, being right is important. But being legally right, with a lawyer on speed dial, even better. Honestly, I think our insurance obsession comes from our love of order, efficiency, and the comforting clack of an approved stamp. It might seem over the top, but when something goes wrong, and eventually something always does, you'll be grateful your overprepared German self had it all covered. So yes, insurance is a big deal here. It's less about fearing the worst and more about feeling ready. Like carrying an umbrella, even when the forecast says sunshine. You might not need it, but if you do, you'll feel very German.
That's it of today's episode here on Plus 49. Whether you're flying solo or sharing the journey, we hope today's mix of stories and insight made your time in Berlin a little brighter. A big thanks to Alicia from Alto for sharing her matchmaking expertise and to all of you for tuning in. We'll be back next week with more expat tales, Berlin happenings, and some surprises along the way. Until then, stay curious, stay kind, and don't forget to flirt with life a little. Hasta la próxima.